if we were to look back,
this is part two of what we started on Thursday, where we talked about in order for the family to be like God wanted to be, the family must look to God and acknowledge His holiness in order to duplicate it. If we were to look back at the first two verses of Leviticus 19, we'll really need to get our thrust from 19 through 37, but just a brief little recap, because I think verses 1 and 2 need to be restated so that we can move like I want us to move. If I can, if I can get someone to read 19, 1 and 2, please.
And the Lord spake to Moses, saying, speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel, and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy.
The word of God says explicitly, Moses, speak to the congregation, the assembly of the children of Israel. Tell them, you shall be holy
because I am holy.
Tell them, you shall be like me because that's who I am. You're duplicating me. You tell them that you shall be like I am because that's the way that I am. Tell them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, your sovereign, your king, your father is holy. You will be like me. I am set apart. I am separate. I am higher than. Let me give you an illustration. I am set apart from you because I am the creator. You are the created. You can never cross and come over to that line. I am sovereign and you're not. I am set apart. I am just in all of my dealings. I am actually the true lawgiver. You are the one that will be governed. I am other than. When you want to know what holy is, God will define it himself through his revelation. So tell them, I'm holy, and you shall be holy because I am holy. Read the 15th verse, because we've covered those other verses, but there's something in 15 and 18 I want to touch on. Read the 15th verse, please.
You shall do no injustice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great. But in righteousness shall you judge your neighbor.
And because I am holy, and I'm telling you to be holy, I need you to understand that whatever I tell you, that's a part of my character. That's the part of you being holy and set apart. And what I'm telling you is, in dealing with one another, you shall have no partiality in judgment. You will not do any unrighteousness in judgment. You shall not respect one person above the other, whether the person is poor and you feel that they had a bad life and things have not gone their way, whether the person is rich and you look on his face and you want his honor. I am other than that. I am higher than everybody. I'm not impressed with the rich. I sustain him. I'm not partial to the poor. Because in every standard and status of life, they are under my providence and my jurisdiction. Look to me and observe my holiness, then you can duplicate it. I'm letting you know that in justice, I am just to all, and this is the way you will judge. Kind of throws it out of the way when people say that you're not supposed to judge, doesn't it? Well, some people say, well, that's court. Well, we don't have a court. Understand one thing. That the children of Israel, before it ever got to court, were supposed to judge each other. Now, I told you, verse 18. Read 18, please.
You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord.
So now we get a other sense. God is just. He's just when he's dealing with man, and that's what you must be. In order to duplicate God's holiness, you must acknowledge that he is holy. If you acknowledge that he is holy, listen to what he says about himself, you'll know how to duplicate it. God said you will not go around and avenge your neighbor. You will love your neighbor as yourself. And there are many people in this world that don't care for God's word and say, but that's what you're supposed to do. But I submit to you that this is not an emotion. You will be kind to your neighbor as you want people to be kind to you. You will help those that are in need when you can. You will not do anything to tear a person down. That is showing love, and we're not even talking about an emotional thing. We're talking about your acts of charity. One guy called it tzedakah. It's your acts of charity. You will treat them the same way that you want to be treated yourself. And if you don't know how you want to be treated, that's right. You'll do it the way that I do it. If the family will look to God and observe that he is holy, then they will know how to duplicate it. You must acknowledge it. It must be acknowledged. If you don't acknowledge that God is different than, other than, righteous, full of love, impartiality, and justice, you will never duplicate it his way. That's important for people that are supposed to rule the world. Yes, I didn't say with guns. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, do you not know that you will judge angels? Do we not realize God had set Israel up to be the light of the world so that mankind would learn about God's holiness, that the world would acknowledge God's holiness, his sovereignty, his righteous laws? Deuteronomy chapter 4 says, when the nations knew that, they would come to Israel to learn. How much more? Those of us that say we believe that Jesus died for our sins and all of the blood sacrifices now can be encapsulated in him, and that he was able to bear our sins as that one goat did on the Day of Atonement, and that he was able to take away our sins as that other goat did in the Day of Atonement, Leviticus 16, and that he's able to go in and mediate for us as high priest as Aaron did on the Day of Atonement, and that he is continually making intercession for us. How much more for us? As a sidebar, I wanted to share something with you that I was telling Ann about either yesterday or last night, and then we'll move to verse 19. That's where we're starting, where God said, you'll keep my statutes. I heard a man say that there's a reason that many of the Jewish people don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah and that he was a false prophet. Let me illustrate. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, Moses told the people that God would raise another prophet after him that was like unto him. Deuteronomy 18 and 15, him shall you hear. But then it says that if a prophet said something and it didn't come to pass, you know that's not what the Lord has said or what he has spoken. But there's another caveat in Deuteronomy 13. If a prophet says something and it does come to pass, but he has told you, you don't follow God, you go and follow another God, that's a false prophet and he should be put to death. You understand that, right? Somebody can prophesy something and say that, well, I went to the other side when I died, I saw the light, and they said there was no Jesus. If you read that thing, Conversation with God, this man said he talked to Jesus and it said there's no sin. Remember that book? Well, understand this. When we, the people that say we're following God, we're following Jesus, and we don't acknowledge God's holiness, how is God's holiness revealed? It's in what we call Torah. Torah, what we call the Old Testament. I submit to you, when you read about holiness in the New Testament, when Peter says, 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16, but as he which is called ye is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, well, I'm just now writing this, it's already previously written, be ye holy, for I am holy. He's quoting Leviticus. He was talking to the strangers that were scattered, the Jews that had been scattered. Here is my point now. If we don't acknowledge God's holiness as revealed in the first five books, I'm not saying we're not going to read the whole Bible, but I'm saying especially there, how is it as a family, and when I say family, I'm talking about now, we as a family, every one of us here as a family, if we don't acknowledge God's holiness, how can we expect to duplicate it? That's what the apostles did. That's what Gary was talking about earlier. Whatever was written for our learning. Now let me get to the point. When we as the children of God say that we don't believe in what is called the Old Testament or what God had written in the Torah and that's done away with because Jesus died, how do we expect any Jewish person to believe that Jesus is the Messiah when we tell him he raised the dead, he healed the sick, he made the lepers see, he walked on water, he caused the blind to see, he made the lepers be cleansed. I got that right. Dries Luke told me that. But he did all these miracles, and yet you say because Jesus came, you don't follow Torah anymore. The Old Testament is done away with. Now, if they remember that if a man did any miracle but led them away from what God's standard was, which was revealed in his Torah, what we call the Old Testament, why would they believe? They were injuncted by Moses. Any miracles. But if they lead you away from following the Lord God, he's a false prophet. He should be put to death. Have you ever thought about that? Did I make it clear? Often, we want to acknowledge God's holiness, and we want to duplicate it and get rid of two-thirds of the Bible. It must be rightly divided, 2 Timothy 2 and 15. And then the individual can see, okay, we don't sacrifice a bull, we don't sacrifice a goat, but we still must do righteous judgment. We must still acknowledge God's holiness and duplicate it. But where do you get the information of where God's holiness is? You go back and you read what they would have read, understand what you can, then come forward and see what the apostle said, especially the chief apostle of God, his son. Now, as we read this today, let's kind of get our mindset on this is what Jesus would be teaching his people. Watch and see. Verse 19, Dree.
You shall keep my statutes. You shall not let your cattle breed with a different kind. You shall not sow your field with two kinds of seed, nor shall you wear a garment of cloth made of two kinds of material.
Now, when you see that, someone said, well, wait a minute. How would Jesus say this? How would this acknowledge God's holiness? Let me pull back in my seat. Now, understand, we've gone through Leviticus 11. And in Leviticus 11, we talked about the different animals. We talked about the order. Some animals have the order of being flyers. Some animals have the order of being swimmers. Some orders have the order of being quadrupeds that walk the earth. But there are some that cross and do both. And usually in that case, they were considered ceremonially unclean. We see in the book of Acts that represented the Gentile nations. And when God got ready to remove that ceremonial restriction, he used those animals, and it's in the 10th chapter, and he told Peter to rise and eat. Peter says, I've never eaten anything common or unclean. God said, whatsoever I have cleansed, cause thou not common. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 15, it's not these animals that defile you. What you eat goes through your belly and it's evacuated, okay? It's passed on and becomes waste. What does defile us is how we live. In this particular case, God is teaching them baby steps. Oh, I hope you all have watched the Karate Kid movie before. Not the new one, the old one. Have anybody out here not watched it? The Karate Kid was a movie years ago where this young boy was being bullied and this Japanese guy was going to teach him martial arts. And as he was getting ready to teach the guy martial arts, he did not start teaching him martial arts right away. He said, wax my car. right hand, make this circle this way on, this way off. Made him do about 5 cars till it was dark. All right. The next day, he had him out there sanding his deck. Sand this way with, he says, it's a Japanese sander. It was round, had a little thing on the back. Sand, he did his hand in a circle this way down, and then he had him to do his hand this way. On the third day, he wanted him to paint the fence. So the guy get ready to, he said, when you paint up with your wrist up, down this way. The thick boards you do one way, the thin boards you do it the other hand. At the end of this little section he did, the little boy said, well, I'm finished. He said, oh, no, the whole fence. And the camera showed it was a huge fence all the way around. At the end of the day, if I remember correctly, and I think that I am, the boy was angry. You haven't taught me how to do anything. I came here to learn how to fight, and you're getting free labor. I've waxed your cars, I've sanded your deck, I've painted your fence. And the guy talked sternly to him. And then he started showing him, do the movement that you did when you were doing the car. And he would do that, and he found that he could block the man's punches. And then different things, he would come to kick at him, and the same movements that he was doing when he was painting the fence were the movements that he needed to defend himself into a martial arts. I looked at that, and this movie, it came on, and I'm like, Ann, I don't want to see this. Ann didn't feel like getting up, changing the channel, and I'm sitting here reading, and I watched it. And I said, Ann, this is the same way when I tell people God was teaching them baby steps. The boy didn't know that he was teaching him how to defend himself by certain movements. There are certain movements that you do when you're sanding. There are certain movements that you were doing when you were painting. When I told you exactly how to do it, now if the guy would have just kept painting the way he wanted to, he wouldn't have learned it. But I said, do it this way with your wrist up and when you cut wrist down. When he had done that all day, no doubt, thousands of times, that movement was ingrained. Now when I start teaching you how it's applied in real life, you're like, oh, you were teaching me through practical lessons. I submit to you that what most people don't see when God is teaching, he has not deviated. He's teaching you how to sand the deck, wax the car, not just to wax the car, not just the, I'm teaching you through baby steps what you need to do so that you can come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Somewhere along the line, I'll teach you all other illustrations. I don't want the Karate Kid to be my only illustration, but that was one that I saw, and I said, that's it. That's what I'm saying. So here, verse 19, you will keep my statutes. That means how you deal with each other. That's the command. Now here's some of the baby steps. You shall not let your cattle gender. You will not let them lay with different kinds. We're going to keep the order of the cattle like it is. This is a baby step to teach you something else in the future. What's one of the things he could be teaching you in the future? You don't go and mix with other religions. You don't go and breed with somebody that's not a believer. If I don't let you let your servants do it, and you see that I'm holy, you acknowledge me, then you'll understand I don't want you as my servants to be breeding with somebody else, because in the days of Ezra, I'll have to separate you from your wives. Because your children will not even know me, my words, my language, or my statutes, okay? Do we see that Jesus would have been taught that the Father in John 17, I have sanctified myself. I've kept myself set apart to be holy, and I have sanctified them. Then he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is true. He's teaching them here the separateness of order so that it doesn't get confused. Was that okay? Give me some more, Dree. We got the gentle. We already read it, so let's just walk through it. You will not sow your field with mingled seed. Now, here's something. Some people think, well, the seed doesn't cross-contaminate, but I submit to you that if you have wheat growing in the field and you have a vineyard in the field, you've made that land have two different things in there, and they become sacred. What do you mean sacred? Where do we get bread from? Wheat. Where do we get wine from?
Grapes.
The bread and the wine was sacred. All the way back to Genesis 14. Remember when Melchizedek met Abraham and they had a feast? What did they have? Bread and... That's right. What did Jesus use when he had his supper for us or for them? The last supper that he had with them, would he give them bread and wine? That was something that was used in the situation of the realm of the holy. The bread and wine. You don't grow your field like that. As we go further in the Bible, you'll see if that happens, that lamb, King James will say is defiled. Look the word up and it will say Kodesh. It means it becomes holy. In other words, if you grew them both together, the land is not defiled. Now it becomes sacred and it's not yours anymore. The only way you can get the land back is to do what we saw in Leviticus chapter 5. You make a reparation offering. Keep things in their order. God is teaching the baby steps, okay? Read on, Dreve, because I want you to go neither the garment. Read it about the garment.
Nor shall you wear a garment of cloth made of two kinds of material.
Now, King James says, well, I'm reading the Cambridge American Standard. It says, mingled with linen and wool. But see, but we see linen and wool on the priest's belt. We see the high priest has a garment with linen and wool. On certain parts of the covering, there was linen and wool. Guess what? The linen and wool was something that was set apart to be holy when it was mixed. Because I allow that mixture of the order to be representation or representative of the holy. So what does God do? God gives them a concession that I believe is Numbers 15, that they can take the tassels, the wings of their garments on the four corners, they could put one string of blue in it because everybody was a priesthood and they all were supposed to be holy. Baby steps! It wasn't that if you wear a wool shirt and a linen pair of pants that you're going to hell. But at this particular time, you don't know what I'm teaching you. You're not ready. So what I'm doing is I'm walking you through it. But when the time comes, when attack comes, you're able to do what's necessary. Was it Numbers 15? Did you look to see?
Uh-huh.
Read that little verse that since you turned to it so fast and identify it.
Verse 38. Speak unto the children of Israel and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue.
And they said that the ribbon of blue, when I say they, that's when I'm reading Milgram, if I read Levin, different Jewish authors, and then different historical things, because I don't care if a person is Jewish, I don't care if he's Asian, African, Caucasian, or European, or whatever. I still need to check you to make sure that this is the consensus of what is, and then you read through certain parts of the scripture, and eventually it comes out that it is wool. So God did allow that in the corners. And it was supposed to represent holiness. Read it, because this is going to be so good. Feel it. Get ready to taste something good.
And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that you seek not after your own heart or your own eyes, after which you used to go a-whoring, that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God.
Wait a minute. Did you catch that last part? See, he said to keep my commandments and my statutes, but you're to remember that you're to be holy to your God. Remember the high priest that had a lot of different colors? It had the wool and the linen together. Remember what went across the top of his head? That gold band, and it said, holy to the Lord. That little bitty strip was to be in the fringes of your garment to remind you that you are to be holy to God as well. It's not just the high priest. It's the whole nation of Israel. You don't get to come into the sanctuary and offer, but you are still to be holy to God because you are part of the priesthood. If I have time, I will read it. Maybe Numbers chapter 3, verse 8, I believe it is, 10 or 8 or in 18, it has the Levites that would guard the tabernacle or the sanctuary so that anybody that came there unworthy or that they weren't supposed to come and touch it, they would be put to death because it was separated to be holy to the Lord. So what have we covered thus far? What we've covered thus far is that Jesus didn't come and teach something that was outside of God's will. It takes a little understanding of what was going on here to understand about holiness, being set apart. And so when he tells them don't mix different things, keep the order. That will go in a lot of things. I'm not supposed to try to be a woman. That's not the order. Drea is not supposed to try to be a man. That's not the order. A woman should not have to try to be the husband in the home. I'm talking about taking the responsibility of making sure that things go well. The husband is supposed to be the head, not just by title. He is supposed to be the head because he honors God and that his family can depend on him to take care of the business that is necessary to run the home. And the wife is supposed to be in a subservient position, not as a fool, but as a helper to guide things and to help him. And whenever he is wrong, to help him by giving him the right instruction so that he can lead her properly. It's not that she's to be on the bottom. No. It's the fact that she is supposed to assist him. And they're supposed to be one. It's not supposed to just be him and her. Then it's a war. That's the order. So when you look at the order, that's very important here. It's just once it's extrapolated, you can see that God's order means something. When we look to God and acknowledge his holiness, then we can duplicate it. You don't have angels coming in and having people to bow down and worship them unless they're out of order. You don't have the Son telling you that he is the Father. He'll say, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Yes, when people see us, they're supposed to see Christ too. But he does not tell you that he's the Father. He said, he that honors me honors my Father. And then he sends the Spirit, and the Spirit points you to him. Order is important. It is very important when it comes to God. Now, that also was stretched out to the children. But I don't want to read that. We took care of that in the earlier part of the 19th chapter that God had children to obey. Order is important to God. This is not a random chaos world. This is a world that God gives order to. Do you take me so we can move a little quicker now?
If a man lies sexually with a woman who is a slave, assigned to another man, and not yet ransomed, or given her freedom, a distinction shall be made. They shall not be put to death, because she was not free.
Those reading the King James Version, you will see that it says scourged. Let me read it. And whosoever lies carnally with a woman that is a bondmaid, betrothed to a husband, and not redeemed, nor freedom given her, she shall be scourged. They shall not be put to death, because she was not set free. That is not the only definition for that word where you see scourge there. And that is the only version, the authorized, that used that. The word is, let's see, Bakoret. And you can pronounce it with a B-I-Q, and it can be Bikoret. Either one, it means due punishment and reprimand. We will see what the punishment the punishment is, but the reparation in the next verse. Read the next verse, and then I'll come in on both of them together.
But he shall bring his compensation to the Lord, to the entrance of the tent of meeting, a ram for a guilt offering.
Okay, now let me explain both of them. The woman is a slave. The children of Israel, if a man got poor, he could sell his son to slave, be a slave for 7 years. If a young girl is sold to slave, that doesn't mean a sex slave. We read with Naaman, when Naaman, a leper, I believe it is in 2 Kings, either chapter 5 or 7, thank you, Gary, a young girl was a slave. There's nothing mentioned about her being a mistress. She served that person. There were many things young girls could do around the home to help out. Not only that, they could be taught to sew. I said learn. First grade, the teacher said, you can't learn anybody anything. But anyway, they can be taught to sew or whatever it is that they did. But if the girl got old enough to be married and someone wanted to marry her, it would be up to the owner of this slave. When we talk about slave, we're talking about God's slavery is what we would probably call an indentured servant. But if she's not free yet, somebody seduces her and lies with her, that wasn't considered adultery on her part. Mm-hmm. Nor on the other person's part, because she had not been married yet. Had she been free, it would have been adultery because it would have been in the betrothal. Mm-hmm. But because she's not free yet, mm-hmm. then what happens is, as a slave that's not emancipated, he has to pay that owner he has to pay that owner what's just and due, because that other person may not want to marry her now, and he's lost what he was going to get. Now he has to bring a trespass offering, and Milgram said he doesn't add to it. I don't believe that. I mean, I could be wrong. Every reparation offering had a fifth added to it. It may not have a fifth added to it because it was going to be paid to the man. All I know is he's making a reparation offering because he has sinned, he has violated, he has pretty much stolen from that person. They're both going to get whatever punishment is due, but to say that they're going to be scourged, no. But that's the only version that uses that word for Bicaret, is King James, what they call the Authorized. I went through about 12 versions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because on my computer, I can just hit the left button and it'll keep going through versions, because I wanted to check. Even the Septuagint, mm-hmm. the Greek translation from the Hebrew that the Hebrew people did, it didn't say scourge. So if you see that word, because it looks unfair.
What is it?
The word is an inquiry and due punishment.
Okay, due punishment.
Due punishment could be that they have to get married. Due punishment could be whatever, but to just say that it's going to be scourged, mm-hmm. and it's just making it her being scourged, because mm-hmm. that, I'm thinking, why? My mind said, whatever God said, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. Since I can't control, I do well to control myself, but I inquired, I looked up words, I went through word search, word studies. Then I start looking and see what other versions had to say, and I checked out other information, because to me that was a point of contention that I felt that we should know. Now, when we look at Jesus teaching God's standard of righteousness, look at how he treated the woman at the well. Did he tell that woman at the well, you're the worst thing that has ever been, there's no hope for you? No, but I know there's some dirt in your life. So I'm going to stick my finger in the dirt, and let's see what happens whenever I point you on what you've been doing. And the woman all of a sudden got religious, and I believe you're a prophet. But then we're not going to go over John right now, but what we do find out, that the woman was touched. She went and told people about this man, and she learned who this man was, and a whole group of people received God's salvation because of the fact how he treated her. He didn't treat her with disdain, but he maintained God's standard of holiness. Woman, the way that you're living right now, it doesn't acknowledge God's holiness. You are out of order. You are out of order. You've had five husbands. The one that you have now is not yours. Let's get the order right. We can get your life right. Read on, Dre. 22.
And the priest shall make atonement for him with the ram of the guilt offering before the Lord for his sin that he has committed, and he shall be forgiven for the sin that he has committed.
Do you all see something in this? People don't like it when you point out their sexual sins. He didn't say the man would die for his sexual sin and his sexual trespasses, but it had to be dealt with. An animal has to die, because sin must be kept or covered for or atoned for. But what happens is, you can't keep going and doing this, because you have shown that you don't have a humble and a contrite and a repentant spirit. Remember, the trespass offering, Leviticus 5, is the offering that is a reparation offering. This is when you acknowledge that you've done wrong and you repent. Many times you've gotten away with this. So in this case, if you kept doing this, you have not really and truly repented. You're just killing animals. You're just slaughtering animals, and that's not what God ever wanted. God never wanted the animals slaughtered like that. That was a concession because of your sin. Either you can die or one of your animals can die. It was never in God's plan just to slaughter animals by the thousands and by the hundreds. It's man's sin that caused that blood to be shed. Please read, Dre.
When you come into the land and plant any kind of tree for food, then you shall regard its fruit as forbidden. 3 years it shall be forbidden to you. It must not be eaten. And in the fourth year, all its fruit shall be whole, an offering of praise to the Lord.
Now, I want you to understand something. In order for the family of God to be holy, they have to acknowledge God's holiness. And in order to acknowledge God's holiness, we must see that He has order. Now, we may not be able to discern every bit of God's order. That would be wonderful if we could. But that we do know, we must acknowledge it. Not only that, but we have to also acknowledge God's statutes. Did you see that God's statute, it allowed mercy for the woman and the man? And somebody said, but they got punished. They could have been put to death. They have violated the holy standard of God. When He has already said, if this happens, I've already told you prior to that, you should be holy. But I've made a concession for you to get it right. I've shown mercy and I've shown grace. People don't see that. I have even started teaching you not only about my statutes and my order. And my order is very important to you so that you can understand me. In order to do these things, you got to honor me first. Now I'm going to show you about the land. I'm going to show you about the trees. I'm going to teach you through the trees. I'm going to teach you in baby steps something about your own life. Notice the terms that he used. Drew, if you will, read that verse. No, I won't end to read the King James because I want a different way to sound.
And when you shall come into the land and shall have planted all manner of trees for food, then you shall count the fruit thereof as uncircumcised. 3 years shall it be as uncircumcised unto you. It shall not be eaten of.
Notice the words that he used. What word is sticking out in my mind?
Uncircumcised.
Now, when you think of circumcision, how many of you go directly to the male genitals in your mind? Mm-hmm. Now, in the Bible, don't the Bible talk about uncircumcised lips?
Yes.
Does it talk about uncircumcised ears?
Yes.
And uncircumcised heart? So, are you beginning to see that God is drawing pictures? So what are we talking about here? Well, it says when you come into the land, notice they haven't gotten there yet. It's a done deal that you're going to get there. And when you shall have planted all manner of trees for food, then you're going to count the fruit as uncircumcised. You're going to count it as it's not ready. It's not made it to the place of covenant. And you're going to see that it's uncircumcised. It's still unclean to you. Okay? You're going to count it as if it has a thick growth on it. Okay? It says, for 3 years it's uncircumcised to you. Now, different writers have said, some said when it would bud, before the bud could, it would flower and then bud, you would prune it, cut it off. Some say that they would just let the trees grow fallow. I believe more according to what just lay on the ground. Now, one of the guys that was reading said he went to Berkeley and he checked out what they do in horticulture. And this may not be the case, but what they would do is they would stop them from being able to produce. And what that did was allow the tree to have more maturity. Mm-hmm. Now, one thing that I read, and then I'll go to what we're dealing with, is that if the tree bore all of those fruits within the first 2 or 3 years and the roots are not deep enough in the ground, it could cause damage. Mm-hmm. And all of that weight of the tree. So what he said is, let it be uncircumcised. Mm-hmm. You cut it off at the bud. Or some say you just cut the fruit off and you don't eat it. Some say that even in one of the missions they would burn it. The point is, it's uncircumcised to you. Stay away from it. It is unclean to you for 3 years. In the fourth year, you let the fruit grow, but you don't eat it. This year, the fourth year, it is to God. I'm teaching you through baby steps that there are certain things that you wait on until I say it's okay. That's my order. I don't even have to tell you why.
I'm just saying, if you acknowledge that there are certain things that I do in your life that I don't allow you to at a certain time, like the opportunity to produce children. I don't let you just because you've grown hair on your chin or because you have grown breasts to go out here and mate. There's an order. You get married. In this particular case, the trees are uncircumcised. For 3 years, the fourth year, the plants, the fruit belongs to me. You shall exalt in it. Look at it. In the fourth year, all of the fruit thereof shall be holy. Notice it's not unclean anymore. It moved from unclean to holy, to the praise of the Lord with all. And look at what happened in the 25th verse.
And in the fifth year shall ye eat of the fruit thereof, that it may yield unto you the increase thereof. I am the Lord your God.
Give it to me, ESV.
But in the fifth year you may eat of its fruit, to increase its yield for you. I am the Lord your God.
Look, this is God's order. Even if he had no explanation. When you come there, I want you to understand I am God. I need you to be able to follow my statutes. But I'm going to tell you, if you follow it my way, that in the fifth year, you'll be able to eat and have the increase of it. Now, in the fourth year, I want it dedicated to me first before you partake of it. What is that order? The order is the very thing in our life. If we don't give it and dedicate it to God before we enjoy it, we're out of order. We're out of order. Most of us, we go and live our life and we get down to, well, we're old and we're decrepit and we don't have much left in our life. And then we want to come to the Lord. But then you have people that want to come to the Lord before they're mature and they want to start prophesying. God's order is, look, go through the period of what I say is necessary before you go to the period that's something dedicated to me. After it's dedicated to me, then it can be given to you. Does that remind you of an offering? The wave offering, you wave it up to the Lord, bring it back down, then you can eat of it. You would think that once it's been on the altar and sacrificed, that the other part would have already been holy enough to eat. No, dedicate it to me first, then you can have your portion. I was one of those kind of kids that were dedicated to the Lord. But Satan said, not so. But the Lord scourged me, and he chastened me and said, you're mine. And I'll put something on you when I get ready. Don't try me. So, read the next verse, please.
You shall not eat any flesh with the blood in it. You shall not interpret omens or tell fortunes.
Look at what we have again. If a family acknowledges God's holiness, they can duplicate it. If a family does not recognize and acknowledge God's holiness, they will not be able to duplicate it at all. His order is, I'm God. He keeps saying that. I'm God. I'm separate. I'm holy. Now, when you're moving into the status of unholy, you're moving out of order, and you're not following my statutes. If you can go to an omen, look at what he says. You shall not eat the flesh of blood in it like people would do to their sacrifices to their gods. That this is just not about just eating blood here. This is dealing with moving over from God being holy and you being holy to where you are giving some of yours to God, to somebody else. You will not eat the flesh with the blood. You will not go to an interpreter of omens. In other words, you're not going to learn about divinations. You're not going to go to enchantments to observe times. You're not going to get your future from someone else. You're not going to go and try to change the future by your omens or your spells, etc. You're not going to move from the divine order of who I am to something else. You're not going to leave my statutes of being separate, of being holy. I'm not going to stand for that. I'm not going to have you trying to do that in my world. You will show me the honor that's due me. You will show me the reverence that's due me. And in turn, I'll give you honor. In turn, I will raise you up to be who you're supposed to be. And when you fail, I'll make you a hissing and a byword. Isn't that what the Bible said would happen?
Yes.
That's what happened to them. Read the next verse. It goes right along with the 26.
You shall not round off the hair on your temples or mar the edges of your beard.
28.
You shall not make any cuts on your body for the dead or tattoo yourselves. I am the Lord.
You see, when people would die in the ancient world, many times people would cut their flesh, they would martyr themselves to try to, in other words, disguise themselves from the people that had died or the spirits that have died. They said they were envious of us still being living. And so they would call themselves disguising themselves. It make you think of the Druids in Halloween, doesn't it? They would disguise themselves so that they would not be able to be seen. So you're not going to do that. You're not going to make cuts on your body. You're not to tattoo yourself. You're not to mar the edges of your beards for the dead. You're not to round off your... You're not to do these type of things that the ancient world does as if they're giving honor to a dead person or to a spirit. You're not to move into that realm. You got to acknowledge me as holy. When you acknowledge me as holy, you won't do these kind of things because not just because I am holy, but I'm giving you my statutes, my ordinance and how you to deal with each other, my statutes and how you to deal with me. Not only is that, I'm going to teach you how to honor me. I know you don't know it on your own. You don't know how to honor me. I'll give you an illustration from my own life. I thought that I knew how to honor Andrina when I married her. But there's some things she had to teach me. You don't just assume that I'm going to like this. I don't care if it's the most expensive steak or piece of fish or chicken. I might not like chicken, steak, or fish. Or I may not like this color dress. I may hate it with a passion. I mean, if you want to be mean and force me to try to force me to wear it, but you're not going to have a happy wife. God teaches us how to honor him. God teaches us how to learn how to honor each other. Because some things that we give people as honor by God's order, by his statutes, they don't see as honor. Tim, where you get that from? In this same chapter, it says, you shall in any wise rebuke your neighbor and not let evil come upon him. People don't see that as honor. Oh, who are you to judge? Somebody told me that Friday. Who are you to judge? And he kept talking over me, but I asked him, who are you to say? Who are you to judge? But he talked over me, but I had to show him what the scripture said, but he wasn't wanting to hear truth. My job is to recognize God's holiness and duplicate it. I was only trying to help the man. The man is telling me he's a follower of Christ, but yet he commits fornication. And I was letting him know that's not God's holy standard. That's not God's righteous standard. And he didn't want to hear it. That's not God's order. And the statutes of God does not allow for you to live like that, sir. And that's what happened. So what I'm saying is God teaches how to honor him, how to honor ourselves. Do you understand that if the person marred their beard, make cuts on themselves, they're dishonoring their body? Do you understand that the Bible have a problem with us dishonoring our body? 1 Corinthians said, if I lay up with a harlot, I sin against my own body. Didn't it say it? These things that we find in the New Testament have their root in here. Why would not people that believe that Jesus said everything that's in Torah or in the Tanakh, the first part of the Old Testament and the writings and the prophets have nothing to do with us? Why wouldn't they think he was a false prophet? Why would, I mean, that's just a logical conclusion. When you see the disciples, his apostles, are fully quoting and pulling from there in their teachings. Read the next verse, please.
You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary.
Give me 29 for me.
Do not profane your daughter by making her a prostitute, lest the land fall into prostitution and the land become full of depravity.
Look, fathers, or widows, do not prostitute your daughters. Remember, I am the Lord your God. You shall be holy, for I am holy. If the family will acknowledge God's holiness, then it should be able to duplicate it. But you're not going to just duplicate it because you see God. You're going to have to learn his ways, his order. You're going to have to keep his statutes. You're going to have to give him the honor that's due his name. And he's saying here, one of the baby steps, you don't profane your daughter and make her not holy. She was holy. You don't profane your daughter and make her a prostitute, lest the land fall into prostitution. Men are ungodly. Men will go for that. You make your land full of depravity. Look at America. You say we don't prostitute our daughters? Why is it then on television a married man, hear my words, a married man's wife can be on TV and because she's an actress, she can kiss another man in the mouth fully. What is that? Because she's an actress, it's not kissing. He can rub her and she can rub him in many ways. It's indecent. And we don't call it pornography. We don't call it sinful. She's a man's wife. If the word of God tells us, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's ox or his ass or his wife, or anything that is thy neighbor, how dare we, because this is a profession, say it's okay now. And your children. And we allow them to be scantily clad, almost naked in a little skimpy little bra and panty that we call it a bikini, on TV, on these shows. And we do this for money. We make what they call strippers, women that all the way naked, dancing, and we give them a level of respectability. This is what we do, because when we don't acknowledge God as holy, and we don't look at his order the way that it is, we don't listen to his statutes, we don't honor him, we end up not honoring ourselves, we end up not honoring each other, and it's easy to put your daughter out there as a prostitute. Somebody said, I don't get that. There's a woman, I cannot think of her name. She used to be a girlfriend of a guy named Tony Romo. Jessica, I think. Jessica something. Simpson. Her daddy, the way that he talked, sounded as if he lusted after her. Yeah. That I put her out there like that and she got famous. Well, I'm going to tell you today that our land is full of prostitution on a lot of levels. I mean, actually, the act. We honor those. We make people like Heidi Fleiss, like she's something special. We honor, call women if they have a look. If you get enough money in a profession this wicked, America will honor you. I submit to you that our land is full of prostitution and our land in America is defiled. There's hardly any convenience store that you can go to and not find ungodliness called porn. And it's all over the TV. It's in the music. You want to learn a new term today? Audio porn. Listen to what many of the lyrics, even the old songs from what I grew up with. Audio porn. What's the difference if it's audio or what you see it? You're going to tell me you can hear it and not see it in your mind? Our land is full of depravity. The holiness of God is moved. The children of God, if we're going to be holy, because God is holy, then we're going to upkeep his order, we're going to upkeep his statutes, and we're going to honor him, and this is what we're going to do as a family. But if we don't see God as holy and separate then we can move into the very thing that the heathen or those that don't acknowledge God doing, and we can have our children doing the exact same thing and have no problem with it, and forfeit our right to lead. Please read.
You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord.
Do you understand that these people were chosen to be elect according to the foreknowledge of God? I'm quoting 1 Peter chapter 1. According to the foreknowledge of God, do you realize that the Jews were given statutes and ordinances and covenants and oracles that were not given to the Gentiles? Somebody say, Tim, I thought you said the whole world knew about God. They did, but they lost the knowledge. And God took one tribe when he separated the nations of people and he used the children of Israel to be able to give God's standard of holiness. They were to acknowledge God's holiness. They were supposed to duplicate it. They were supposed to keep God's order, his statutes, and honor him so that the world would know that. And he said, for them, you will keep my Sabbaths. They had a lot of Sabbaths. They had Sabbaths every seventh day. They had a Sabbath month. They supposed to have a Sabbath year. They were supposed to have a year of Jubilee. I never read anywhere where they kept the year of Jubilee. I never read anywhere where they kept the Sabbath year. But they would have different Sabbaths and different feasts to do like a dress rehearsal of things to come. And guess what? Instead of them in moving from the place where, as I illustrated in that movie, where you're shining the car and doing a different thing like he was teaching the boy martial arts, they never got to the place that they saw what God was doing. Now, some did see it, but most did not see it. So all it is the time we get together, we eat, we have a feast, and we drink. So much so that that thing came down to the New Testament, and in the 11th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, folk were eating and getting drunk. Some were pigging out, and some was getting drunk. And Paul had to correct them about that. 1 Corinthians 11 and 24 said, when you come together to eat the Lord's Supper, it's not for you to come here and pig out. It's not for you to get drunk. Some of you eat so much, there's not even anything for everybody else. And Paul says, some of you have died because you didn't discern the Lord's body. Didn't discern. What would that mean? What would that mean to you? You didn't acknowledge him as holy. You didn't acknowledge him as holy. You just start going through stuff. And when you don't acknowledge him as holy, you don't duplicate it. So what you think you're doing, you're going through the motion, but you're not duplicating the holiness. You're not duplicating the sacredness. You're not really concerned with the order of things or the statutes. You're going through the motion. And God didn't get the honor. And God said, those that honor me, I will honor. And those that lightly esteem me, I'll lightly esteem them. Read some more, Dre. Take me on to the verse 31.
Do not turn to mediums or necromancers. Do not seek them out, and so make yourselves unclean by them. I am the Lord your God.
Now, you may not see this in this passage, and there may be 1,135 people that would disagree with me, but I believe this passage is one way of God saying, I'm jealous. Tim, how do you get that? First of all, how he started out. Moses, tell the people, I, the Lord your God, am holy. You shall be holy because I'm set apart from that. I've taught you all to not even be touching the dead. The only thing you can do with the dead is to do your burial. You don't make all of these comments and trying to talk back and forth to the dead. You don't worship the dead. They did ancestor worship back then. You don't do this. You don't go to mediums trying to tell what the future is. You don't seek them out. Why? Look at the last part. When you do it, you make yourself unclean. I told you to be holy. When you do it, you make yourself unclean. I will deal with you. What you have done, you have not honored me. Look at the bottom. You have not honored me as being holy. You did not keep my statutes in order to do that. You reversed the order of what I said. The dead need to be with the dead. And the living with the living, because you are clean, and when the body is a corpse, the corpse is unclean, period. And so either way you take that, you will not be acknowledging God's holiness. Now when you go and you try to communicate with the dead, you have displaced my honor, you have displaced the order, you are not clean, you are not duplicating me, and I will deal with you. I will submit to you that what has happened in this particular case is you've taken the very honor that I have and given it away. You're repeating yourself, Tim. I'm going to show you why I'm doing this. I had another talk with Ann. We talk about God and stuff like that, okay? I was thinking about, the Bible said, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. How many of you women here have ever had somebody to really, that you think really loved you, and you just didn't want that person? I know for some it might be 40, 50 years ago, but how many of you have ever had somebody really, really, in all the way they knew how to show you that they love you, and you didn't want them? Nobody? Okay, how many of you have had children that you've loved with all your heart and they didn't appreciate it? I got one. Now, here's the way we look at this. God so loved, he gave. When a parent really loves a child, they give, they give, they give. How many have seen their children grow up and they still haven't learned to give to them? That when you really boil it down, you don't really love me like I love you. You can say it, but you don't. You don't really love me the way that I love you. And in some cases, I can't even really see the love. You might acknowledge that I'm your parent, but And you may have this psychological thing that you love, but you never gave. You never gave. Love is exemplified by giving. Now, how many of you seen the same child grow up and give and give and give to somebody else that they either desired or they loved? How many of you just seen that happen, that this person either wants this person in their life, and they just give, give, and give to that person, and it may not be reciprocated? I submit to you that when God gives and gives, he gave them life, he gave them strength, he made them a nation, brought them out of Egypt, he gave them means of being clean, he gave them means of being able to have his fire cloud in the night, cloudy pillar in the day. He gave and gave and gave. Now, if you were to take what God has done for those people, and they go and offer a sacrifice to another God, I'm giving, 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 but you can't, you take it instead of giving back to me, which is already mine, and giving it to somebody else. You going to somebody else to get your counseling? You know what it's like when you have a child and you want to give them good advice, and they go to Rico, or they go to Chi-Chi, or they go to Marcus, or they go to somebody else that don't know, and they're always getting the wrong information. How irritating that is, that they don't honor you enough that they don't see that you always are concerned about them. And they go listen to their statutes and live like they say, and their life go downhill. And they continually do that. And they feel like, and you see them set their order, the order of their life, from their haircut to the way they talk to where they go. And you see that? Can you not see the end of this passage here when he says, you shall keep my Sabbath and reverence, you be in awe of my sanctuary, because first when you do that, you won't go to mediums. You won't go to necromancers trying to learn. I'm the one that you should get your information from. I'm the one that tell you what order is. I'm the one that tell you what statutes you should go by. I'm the one that you should honor so your life could be right. You could be holy this way, but when you do that, you can't be holy. And the illustration that I see when I say this, I can see God's jealousy is in this, is because look at what all he's done, and you're going to go somewhere else to get information on how to live. Take me to 32.
You shall stand up before the gray head and honor the face of an old man, and you shall fear your God. I am the Lord.
Wow. Wow. One more. Wow. You know, if a man is wicked and he wants honor, if people honor the gray head, he would dye his hair. What is this passage saying? What is holy about this? I will submit to you that if you look at God's nature and his character to acknowledge him as holy, you will learn to duplicate that. I will submit to you that what God is saying is twofold. One, let's take the first fold. When it came to babies, widows, and orphans, and you look at the elderly, you're looking at those that are usually not in the place to take care of themselves as they once did. And God looks out for those that are in the position that they are not able to do for themselves. Why do you say that, Tim? How do you know that, Tim? Jesus said, not even a sparrow falls to the ground without my heavenly Father know. And he feeds the birds of the air. He clothes the lily of the field. And he said, and Solomon in all his glory, he wasn't arrayed like one of those. Somebody ought to ask Jesus, how do you know? Oh, that would have been a good one to tell, boy. But here's the point being made. That's one level. Honor that person. But suppose they weren't honorable. What if there's what they call an old biddy or an old codger, a fool? Well, they really weren't supposed to be old fools in Israel. Secondarily, when a nation does not honor the elderly and they take advantage of the weak and the defenseless, it won't be long before your nation will be destroyed. Somebody says, how do you know that, Tim? Well, everybody that's going to have a child is going to be a baby, defenseless. And everyone that's what you call teenage, eventually they're going to be old themselves. And eventually it's going to collapse. If you're holy, keep my order, my statutes, and honor me, you'll be preserved. What's the other side of that? It should be that when a person gets to have what is called the worry, or the gray head, or the aged, that the reverence and respect is shown to that person, it should be one that has acquired wisdom. But even if it hasn't, it's for the sake of God. Because I'm giving you a standard of holiness. I'm giving you a standard of righteousness so that your society can duplicate the statutes in the way that I am. Remember, the ones that's doing this, it didn't say what he was like. And it didn't say you have to kiss up, as we call it in America, kiss up. It didn't mean that everything that person says is right. You can honor a person even if they're wrong. If my mama, and I honor her, tell me to slap her, I'm saying, mama, that's wicked. I'm still saying mama. I'm still acknowledging that it's wicked because first I got to honor God. Now, I still honor her. I don't push her down. I don't try to slap her. But I correct the misbehavior. But I still honor his mother. Can we see that? Mm-hmm. So God said, give honor. Not because you feel it. This is my order. It's a statute. And somebody said, well, that means every time somebody come, I got to stand up. Well, if you there's an honor that's there. What if I can't stand up? I can't keep that statute? No. What it is you show that person deference. Mm-hmm. You show them a certain respect because they're old now. But that doesn't mean that they're wise. That doesn't. Would to God it would be. All right, so much for that. Take me to the next verse.
When a stranger sojourns with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt.
That doesn't mean you go kissing him on the cheek and rubbing his back and cutting his grass. And no, when you love him, you're not going to steal from him. You're not going to try to kill him. You're not going to dishonor him. You're going to treat him with respect. You're going to treat him the way that God's statutes have said. That's love. How do you think God can demand that you love him? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You're going to give that which you're going to worship to me. You're not going to give it to Moloch. You're not going to give it to another God. You're not going to give it to, you're going to give what you have to offer to me. So the stranger that's in your land, you're going to do just judgment to him. You're not going to treat him differently. How many of you all have ever heard that if you go to a Mexican jail or whatever, that you may not get out? Or you hear different judgments that Americans get in different countries and it's unjust. You will not do that to people. That's what he's saying. You will treat them with the same laws that I have here, the same statutes, the same order, and with the honor that is due because you want them, because you're acknowledging me and you're being holy, to reverence holiness themselves. It is not a religion. It's me. Holiness is actually duplicating me. I'm other than the world standard. I'm other than these other gods. I am holy. Please read some more of the sweetest word of God.
I am the Lord your God.
That's enough reason right there. I'm the Lord your God. Wow. Read on.
You shall do no wrong in judgment, in measures of length or weight or quantity. You shall have just balances, just weights, a just ephah, a just hin. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And you shall observe all my statutes and all my rules and do them. I am the Lord.
This is what God is saying, and this is what he means. When it comes to business, you're going to keep my order. I've already told you to do righteous judgments. You're going to keep my statutes. You're going to treat each other right. If you don't know what rights are, just weights, just measures, just balances. You owe somebody $30. You don't give them, I got a 5 and a 10. I don't have your 30. Or you owe them $30. I just got two 20s. I can't give you the 10. I'm just telling you, these are some of the ways people do. Or you, when they're scales, they used to weigh things with scales. And sometimes I've seen drawings where the man would put the meat on the scale and pull his finger to pull it down to make the meat weigh more and charge more for it. You will not be unjust in business. I am the Lord. You acknowledge me. I'm just in everything that I do. I'm righteous in everything that I do. If we acknowledge God as holy and we learn to duplicate it, if you don't acknowledge God as holy, you'll never want to get that way. But if you acknowledge God as holy and you keep his order is justice to everybody. No partiality, whether they're from your land or not, whether you like them or not. It wasn't the issue. It's my order. It's my statute. This is my judgment. Statute is my judgment in dealing with one another. In doing so, you honor me. In honoring me, I reflect the honor back to you, and other people will learn to honor me. That's what God wants. Now, somebody say, Tim, what about the New Testament and all of the things that appertain? Well, because of how far I've gone, I may deal with that Thursday night. There were some things I wanted to bring out on the New Testament, how this fits. But I think I've laid a groundwork. I've alluded to some of the things in the New Testament. In order for the family to be holy, they must acknowledge that God is holy in order to duplicate it. And other than that, you won't understand what holiness is. It will always be a religion. It'll always be a long dress. It'll always be don't grow a beard in some churches. It'll always be you can't go here, or you can't do that, you can't drink some wine, as opposed to the real meat. How do you treat somebody in business? Do you take God's honor and you go and do astrology and you start doing other things? Do you start going into drugs, because drugs is what people use to contact the dead? In the ancient world, they knew how to get high. Mm-hmm. You think they didn't know how to make potions and to go into trances and seances? I even seen in Africa they got a drink called conch that they could drink, and they could get drunk. The Bible teaches that when a man does not stay sober, it allows his mind to be the playground of the devil. And spirits can dwell with us. So what we have to do is, the children of God, remember God is holy. He wants us holy, but it's based upon his order, his statutes, and an honor that's given to him. And when we do those things, the honor comes back to us. It doesn't mean everybody will like you, but people can honor you and not like you. They can honor you and also elevate you. Remember the life of Joseph, and just, God, whichever state you put me in, let me be content. Father, thank you for your word, your goodness, your grace, and your magnificent glory. I ask you by your might and by your power to help us always remember and acknowledge that you are holy, and make it our business to duplicate what you do as holy. Your judgments, your statutes, your ordinances, how you're set apart from that which is unclean, how you show us love, how you show us mercy, that we would duplicate your ways. When we duplicate your ways, Lord, we show you honor. And that's what we want to do. Help us, I pray, in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Even so, amen.